give a very special thank you to Miss Joanne Ronk for playing organ this morning. Thank you so much. Everybody gets this morning off except for Joanne and I. But we worked out a deal where she gets paid double her hourly rate for being here this morning. Merry Christmas to you. I hope that you have received some wonderful gifts. Cleveland Browns won. Oh my goodness. Carrie Fisher, Princess Leia had a heart attack, but she did not die. Take that, 2016. You're not getting another one from us. And we have another donut shop in town. Tim Hortons is now open. The more donuts, the happier Ashlyn will be, is my theory. So a lot of gifts. Praying that this Christmas morning is filled with gifts of family and friends and love for you as well. Our text this morning is the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. If you don't have your Bibles with you, just listen to the words of the Lord for us this morning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him, all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made that's been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming to the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. We know a great deal about that first birthday of Christ, the coming of Christ, through the Gospels of Matthew and Luke. But after that, the Bible is mute about how Jesus celebrated his birthday. We don't have any other clues as to what had happened. Did the angels come back? Did they put candles on a falafel or whatever, you know? And we don't know. We do know that after his death and resurrection, for about 300 years, Christians did not celebrate the birth of Christ. One of the early Christian writers, his name was Origen, and he instructed Christians not to celebrate the birth of Christ, because that was a pagan tradition. Celebrating birthdays is something that important, self kind of aggrandizing people did. That's not something that we would do to honor Christ. This all changed in the year 336 when Constantine converted to Christianity. Constantine, the emperor of the Roman world, decided that Christmas was now in. And the date he selected, December 25th, to celebrate was an interesting selection, because December 25th was already a Roman holiday. It was known as Dies Natalis Solis Invicti. Nailed it. Birthday of the unconquered sun. Celebrating the Roman god Mithra, that was a standard a deity in the Roman world. This Roman god already had a day set aside in the week to worship him. That's where we get the word Sunday from. You would worship Mithra, the sun god, on Sunday. Constantine said, there's too much similarity here. Let's make Christmas on December 25th and make it a holiday that everybody can celebrate together. The additions to our Christmas celebration is like a who's who of Christian authors throughout the centuries. A few years after Christmas became in, the Christian writer Tertullian added to the Christmas tradition by arguing that the magi who came to worship the baby Jesus were in fact kings, citing other scriptures that kings from afar would come to bring him gifts. And so all of a sudden in the nativity scenes around 1000 AD, you started seeing kings added. A few centuries later, Saint Francis, the saint of animals, said, let's put some sheep and camels and stuff in here, right? Let's get all of creation in at the marveling of Jesus' birth. And so nativity scene changed once again, now with kings and animals. In 1611, the King James translation of the Bible came out. And there was a mistranslation of a Greek word that also began to influence our Christian traditions. That's from Luke 2, verse 7, when it said there were no room for them in the... There were no inns in ancient Middle East. There was like not like a Motel 6 in Bethlehem, okay? That word appears one other time in the New Testament. And it's when Jesus is preparing for his Last Supper, he says, go find for me an upper room. There was no room for them in the upper room. They didn't give birth to Jesus in a barn. He was probably in somebody's home. In 1650, Puritans took power in England, and they basically outlawed Christmas. Thank goodness for the Puritans, right? What good things have the Puritans actually given us? That's not a retort. Okay, we'll talk later. No card playing, no dancing, right? Whatever. Vertical gyrations could lead to horizontal gyrations, whatever. Right? Okay. They cited all of these things that I mentioned as reason why Christmas, as it was constructed, was unbiblical. It wasn't true to the accounts that we see in the New Testament. And for a few hundred years, Christmas was all but stamped out. The Puritans encouraged working on Christmas Day, not giving it any special attention at all. And then something happened in 1843 that changed all of that. And it was the publishing of A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens. And Dickens sought to reclaim the magic and the beauty of Christmas through this very familiar story. Now, the only version I know of this is the Muppets Christmas Carol, but I think they follow the plot pretty closely. Ebenezer Scrooge, modeled in Dickens' mind after a Puritan, after a austere, miserly, religious old man who did not think of the lives that he had affected until he was confronted by three ghosts of the life that he lived and could have lived had he been a little more generous, a little more giving throughout his life. Even though Dickens had issues with the church, he obviously had a deep spirituality that comes through the Christmas carol and the story ending with Ebenezer now giving away much of his wealth and Tiny Tim saying, "God bless us, everyone," at the end, right? We go in the Gospel of John from the intimacy of the birthing room to the immensity of the heavenly realms. Matthew and Luke focus on the birth of baby Jesus, but John's Gospel focuses on the coming of the cosmic Christ, the Christ that existed before all time, the Christ in whom the world was created. There's an intentionality that we see here of hearkening back to Genesis 1. John is working to make sure that we see the parallels of all of creation flourishing, bursting into the scene, and also Jesus being there, guiding, aiding, authoring the process. Theologians call the emptying of Christ kenosis. It's the term of Jesus leaving the vastness and the perfection of the heavenly realms to come to earth. The giving away of divinity so that Christ could share in the humanity of his fellow man. It's been interesting for us this Christmas explaining the meaning to our children. What is Christmas? How do you break that down for a very curious and intelligent 2.5-year-old? And the best thing that we came up with in a simple explanation was, on your birthday, you received gifts, but on Jesus' birthday, we give things away. At the end of the day, that's what John 1 is all about, the giving away of life, the denying of self for the benefit of others. And I would argue that is the heart of Christmas. Take away all the other extras, all the things that have been added as accoutrement over the centuries, right? At the end of the day, we worship a God who gives life away so that others may flourish. Hearkening back to the blessing of Abraham, you will be blessed so that you can be a blessing to the world, to those in need. And here's the beauty of Christmas. No gift is inconsequential in the kingdom of God. Every gift counts when it's given in sincerity and love. In 2003, the widow of the McDonald's founder, Ray Kroc, Joanne Kroc, passed away. And in her estate, she gave $1.5 billion to the Salvation Army, the largest single gift to a charitable organization in Earth's history. And I read an interview in which somebody talked to the head of Salvation Army about receiving that gift from Joanne Kroc and how they negotiated that deal. And the answer was she already wanted to do that, because when she was a little girl, they struggled in poverty, and a pastor from the Salvation Army would come and bring them groceries. And it wasn't just that this person took time to bring them food that they otherwise would not have, but that this person often sat down and talked to her, took an interest in her, believed and spoke with her about God. Funny how that gift seems so small and inconsequential, and yet God used that seed to plant this amazing, amazing generous gift The Salvation Army took that $1.5 billion and they built croc centers all throughout the United States. There's 26 of them, one of them in Ashland. Our community benefits because 60 years ago, somebody brought groceries to a family in need. Christmas is about giving life away. And here's the amazing thing that we could say about Ebenezer, we could say about Joanne Kroc. When you are gifted with such decadence, such amazing abundance, it seems easy to give some stuff away, doesn't it? Doesn't it seem easy when you have so much to give some away? This is the amazing trade that Christ offers us. He wants to give his life to us so that now that we are found in abundance, we can give our life away. I had a really, really crappy car after college. Yes, it's the Lord. It was a Dodge Neon, and it started sometimes. And one of my favorite things that was always true at this time of the year when it was cold is that the doors would freeze shut. And I could only climb in through the passenger side, but then because of it being frozen, the door would not latch closed. So I would oftentimes be driving the vehicle, very safe, I assure you, holding the passenger door closed as I drove around town. It was a terrible, terrible vehicle for a million reasons. And it was mine. And I liked it because it helped me get to where I needed to go. I shared some of my vehicle problems with a church member, just joking around, explaining to them the absurdity of driving on the ice with a car that's doors are frozen shut but also won't close. And they gave me their vehicle after hearing my story. And the day after they gave it to me, I gave my car away, right? Because now that I had this great gift, the other thing that was so essential, it's easy now to be open-handed with it. It's easy to give it away once I have received. So, here's the newsflash. The trappings and traditions of Christmas will probably still change. We probably won't lock in 2016 and never change the way Christmas is celebrated again. History tells us that's not true. My grandkids may well have different ideas about how to celebrate this day. But one thing that will remain, if we are indeed still celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ, is that at its heart, Christmas is all about giving your life away. Having received so much, we now have enough to be generous to our neighbors. So may you all have an Ebenezer Christmas, a Christmas that reminds you of how blessed you are, how rich you are in the spiritual realms, how much you've been given because of the love of God, and may that propel you to live open-handed, generously, giving your old life away because what you've received is so much better. And may your gifts to the world and those in need be seeds that God uses to multiply his kingdom impact. Amen. Let's pray. God, this morning we recognize that you are the author of generosity and that your infinite resources we could never begin to imagine, and yet you pour them out selflessly first by coming, invading this place with your presence. So we pray on this day in which we celebrate your birth, that we would be reminded of how many ways, countless blessings we've received. May that cause us to be absolutely generous to those around us. Thank you, Lord, for the ability to reimagine the beauty of Christmas, that we all might have a moment and experience an intimate moment with you that would cause us to reflect on our lives and our legacy. And like Ebenezer, we would also start giving everything away. And may we do it in your name. Thank you, Jesus, for being our gift and our life. It's in your name we pray these things. And God's people said,